Greetings, friends. In the Christian calendar, we have entered the Advent season, and this is a time to prepare our hearts, not only for remembering the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, but to prepare our hearts for God to be birthed within us. The 17th century mystic Angelus Silesius wrote that if Christ were born 1,000 times in Bethlehem and not in you, you remain lost. The Jesuit teacher from India named Sebastian Painadath wrote, "Heart is a birthing chamber. We are called to become not only children of God, but mothers of God as well, giving birth to God." Now, when we look at this analogy of a mother giving birth, when the embryo develops in the womb, there's nothing that a mother can do to control the growth of the life in her. Instead, she goes into a time of waiting, needing to trust the natural process of the unfolding of life in this waiting time of pregnancy. What she can do to help this tiny seed to reach maturity is to create conditions that are conducive to full flourishing. And in the same way, we cannot control the growth of the seed of God in us. But we can participate by creating the inner conditions conducive to the flourishing of Christ in us, the birth in the soul of Emmanuel, God with us. And so this can give us a helpful lens for reading these biblical Advent and Christmas stories, so that we read them not just as historical narratives telling us stories of the birth of Jesus, but the invitation to us is to read these as guides for this inner unfolding of the life of God in us, for the birth of Christ in our own inner beings, here and now. As the mystic Angelus Silesius went on to say, if in your heart you make a manger for this birth, then God will once again become a child on earth. And so bringing this approach to reading the scriptures around Jesus' birth, it has struck me how Mary's response to the news of her pregnancy has two key components of yes and thank you. In Luke 1, we read that when she was told the news by the angel, although she was at first disturbed about the uncertainty and impracticality of it all, she still gave her yes in her response, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be with me as you have said." And then a while later, when visiting her cousin Elizabeth, she prayed that wonderful Magnificat prayer of thanksgiving and praise. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour. And it has struck me that these prayers of yes and thank you are attitudes or postures of the heart that help to create the inner environment in which Christ can be born in us, leading to the unfolding of the life of God within us. So in this reflection, I want to look at these two attitudes in two parts of yes and thank you. So looking at yes, in our usual attitude to life, the usual sort of ordinary consciousness way of seeing life is that we spend a lot of time dividing life into yes and no, what we think belongs and what we think doesn't belong. And this prejudiced awareness forms hard edges of resistance to life and to others. And I've begun to notice that you can feel this hard resistance in your body. And eventually, these hard edges keep us stuck in a kind of prison. Our ability to respond in a flexible and free way has been so conditioned by our resistance that we are completely crusted over, calloused, and blind to these patterns that cause this. To use the analogy of a seed planted in the ground, we become like hard ground that is unreceptive to seed, rain, or nutrients, and completely unconducive to growth. We go about trying to control life in an attempt to find happiness, success, reputation, or whatever else we think should be happening. The more we do this, the harder we become. One of our strong prejudices is towards our ordinary, struggling selves. We turn on what we think is weak or faulty, and we have a strong urge to change ourselves into something extraordinary, or into someone who's free from suffering. And this is what many of us set out on a spiritual journey to do, a kind of self-improvement project. But this is a subtle, pernicious form of trying to control life, and is actually quite a violent way of being with ourselves. And something I learned on one of my 8-day retreats is that I keep hoping that God will transform me into something extraordinary and special and make my life spectacular. And I assumed that that is what spiritual transformation or awakening or whatever you want to call it is about. But I realized that in the process, I reject the ordinary isness of this person, this incarnation, and her reality. And I overlook the quiet richness that is my life right here, right now. This life, as it is the fertile ground for the seed of Christ to unfold and grow from within us. If we stop rejecting it and hardening against it in search of the spectacular. What I love about this prayer of Mary's in Luke 1 verse 48 is that she acknowledges her ordinariness. God has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And when we stop looking elsewhere for something more spectacular, we can begin to allow the ordinary reality to simply be what it is. Thomas Merton wrote, "One of the most important and most neglected elements in the beginnings of the interior life is the ability to respond to reality, to see the value and the beauty in ordinary things, to come alive to the splendor that is all around us," and I'll add, and within us. As we soften and open to the thisness and raw, unvarnished realness of it all, our hearts become the soft, malleable ground that is conducive to the flourishing of the life of God in us. God is the God of the real, as it is. Anything other than that is fantasy, projection, and forms a veil between us and God. James Finlay describes that God comes to you in and as the concrete immediacy of your ordinary, everyday life. And Thomas Keating's nickname for God, which I often refer to because I really love it, is Izzy, as a reminder that God is the isness of what is, as it is. And so when we allow ourselves to completely open to the moment, wholeheartedly welcoming the real with our yes, let it be, we are encountering the immediacy of God here and now. And this is the intimacy with the Beloved that gives rise to new life from within us. And so the invitation of yes is to develop a flexible, open receptivity to the whole of life, allowing it all in without prejudice. It starts with small reminders at first, but with time becomes an attitude that we carry into the whole of our lives, enabling us to open more and more completely to life, to God, to one another, and to our real selves in a receptive, non-dual way. And this attitude is an important one to cultivate because it frees us from the confined dualistic mind with its preferences and prejudices. And in the process of softening, we open to a larger wisdom way of knowing and responding. It isn't that anything changes as such. It is that we begin to perceive from the larger frame of an undivided mind and an open, softened heart. And we become the manger in which Christ is born anew. So before continuing with part two, thank you. I invite you into a time of guided prayer where we pray our yes together.